When Rich, Kim, Nikki and I were at the New Wine Leadership Conference back at the start of March, we sang a song by Phil Wickham called Great Things, and it was a song that really spoke to me and I really enjoyed. And it's from that song that God started to speak to me about what I want to share with you today. The song has the chorus, O hero of heaven, you conquer the grave, you free every captive and you break every chain. Oh God, you have done great things. We dance in your freedom, awake and alive. Oh Jesus, our Saviour, your name lifted high. Oh God, you have done great things. And then the second verse says, you've been faithful through every storm. You've been faithful forevermore. You have done great things, and I know you will do it again, for your promise is yes and amen. You will do great things, God. You do great things. And as we sang it, the following lines jumped out at me. O hero of heaven, you have done great things, and I know you will do it again, for your promise is yes and amen. You will do great things, God. You do great things. And as I started to think about these lines, these statements of faith, these bedrocks of Christianity, I was drawn to three lines. Lines that I found myself singing, almost crying out to God as a prayer. You have done great things. You do great things and you will do great things. The past, the current and the future. You have done great things, the past. You will do great things. The future, and you do great things, the current. And as I sang the line, I know you will do it again, for your promises are yes and amen. I felt God speak to me, and I felt God say to me, but do you? And I said, well, yes, Lord, I know you've done great things, and I know you'll do it again. And God said, that's not what I've asked you. That's not what I need you to believe. And so I stood there singing in the Harrogate Conference Centre, now Nightingale Hospital, and I realised that I wasn't going to get God to change his mind. And so I said, well then, God, what do you want me to believe? And he said, I want you to believe that I do great things. What? I've just said and sung, I believe you've done great things. And I've just said and sung, I know you're going to do it again. And God, I'm really confused right now. And God said, I need to believe that I do great things. Not in the past and not in the future, but right here, right now, in the present. I need to believe that I do great things now because I need you to do great things now. Now, I had no idea what he meant by that or what was around the corner for our country or the world. COVID was China and Italy's problem. So I said, I believe. And God said, no, you don't. And I said, I do. And he said, you don't. And well, you get the gist of the conversation. And eventually I said, okay, Lord, I'm done with arguing. You're just not listening. And he said, I am, but you aren't. So I said, okay, you're right, I'm wrong. And I've learned that from 25 years of marriage. Teach me, Lord, to believe. And this is what, over the last few weeks, he said to me. First, you need to understand who I am. Psalm 33 was where we started. By the word of the Lord, the heavens were made, their starry host by the breath of his mouth. He gathers the water of the sea into jars. He puts the deep into storehouses. Let all the earth fear the Lord. Let all the people of the world revere him. For he spoke and it came to be. He commanded and it stood firm. The Lord foils the plans of the nations. He thwarts the purposes of the peoples. But the plans of the Lord stand firm forever. The purposes of his heart to all generations. God spoke the earth into being. He didn't strive to create it. He didn't spend hours poring over an IKEA instruction manual. He simply spoke it into being. When they hurled their insults at him, he did not retaliate. When he suffered, he made no threats. Instead, he entrusted himself to him who judges justly. He himself bore our sins in his body on the cross, so that we might die to sins and live for righteousness. By his wounds, you have been healed. Jesus didn't retaliate. He bore our sins, the sins of the whole world. He died so that we can live. Jesus replied, "It's not for you to know the times or seasons that the Father has fixed by his own authority. But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you. And you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth." After he had said this, they watched as he was taken up, and a cloud hid him from their sight. So you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you. All too often we dumb down the Godhead. God the Father, some decrepit old bloke on a crowd. Jesus, meek and mild. And the Holy Spirit, like a fluffing dove that flounces around the place. That's not the God who created the heavens and the earth, who simply spoke them into being. That's not the Jesus who turned tables in the temple to restore it to a house of prayer, or a Jesus who bore our sins on the cross without complaint. And it's not the Holy Spirit that can break the strongest of strongest men and reduce them to tears, and that has and can and does great things. Now, I'm sure our experience of prayer is reflected by our faith, and our faith reflects our understanding of the Godhead. Angels are not adult fairies in silver hot pads. They're warriors. And if they submit to and worship God, then how much more kick-ass is God? How much more, come on, give it your best shot, Satan, is that God that loves me and calls me son? The God that loves you and calls you son, that calls you daughter. When Nigel Farmer from the Sanctuary came, he spoke about the centurion who said, "If you give me a word, I will carry it." He understood authority. He understood who was asking him. If we have a weakened understanding of God, then the ability for the authority of God to manifest through us is also weakened. We wait in hope for the Lord. He is our help and our shield. In him our hearts rejoice, for we trust in his holy name. May your unfailing love be with us, Lord, even as we put our hope in you. Just before lockdown, Nikki and I went to our caravan, our old caravan, and when we opened the door and switched on the light, there was nothing. The light didn't come on. It didn't even flicker. There was nothing. And so I took the battery out and I took it home, believing it was dead. And when I tested it, it had 2 volts. It wasn't actually dead, just didn't have enough power to do the job it was called for. And here's the thing. If we reduce God and Jesus and the Holy Spirit to an old man, a baby and a flapping dove, then we shouldn't be surprised if our faith isn't enough to see him do great things now. I've come into the world as a light, so that no one who believes in me should stay in darkness. A reduced power battery is not enough to work the light in the caravan, and a reduced powered Godhead is not enough to defeat darkness in the world. Because we don't understand the full potential, we don't have faith to see it demonstrated. We pray for people for 100% healing, but our faith is just for marginal improvement. God, heal this man to full health, if it's your will. But if not, then just a bit better will be better than nothing. They're caveat prayers and they're faithless. They're arse covering. If it's your will. What? The Bible makes it clear it is God's will. And as you go, preach, saying the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Heal the sick, cleanse the lepers, raise the dead, cast out demons. Freely you have received, freely give. heal the sick. Back at the leadership conference, we were blessed to be able to hear from John and Carol Arnott, who were leaders of the Toronto Blessing. And although they were a little retro, they were still 100% committed to seeing God's full power demonstrated, or at least 100% of what we could survive. And there were two things that really stuck in my mind that John Arnold said. Two simple, almost throwaway comments that leapt out to me. Firstly, that God was going to smash this thing apart. Now, bear in mind, COVID was only in China and Italy. And secondly, after reading that scripture, the scripture that I've just read, as you go, preach, saying the kingdom of heaven is at hand, heal the sick, cleanse the lepers, raise the dead, cast out demons. Freely you have received, freely give. He pointed out that raising the dead is on the beginner's list. It's not beyond the power of the Holy Spirit, it's just beyond our faith. Wow. Nigel Farmer said, we have a great responsibility. We are called to be kingdom carriers. A great responsibility. Keys, phone, wallet, kingdom. And as he said this, I was reminded that there's a phrase in the world that says, with great power comes great responsibility. And I'm sure we've all heard that phrase. But we're not of the world. We may be in it, but we're not of it. We are of the kingdom of God. And I think that sometimes God turns the world's view on its head. So rather than with great power comes great responsibility, in the kingdom of God, the phrase I believe should be with great responsibility comes great power. A great responsibility, keys, phone, wallet, kingdom. Hebrews 13, 20-21 says that we are equipped in every good thing to do his will, working in us that which is pleasing in his sight, through Jesus Christ, to whom be the glory forever and ever. Now, one of my favourite superheroes, you'll remember, potentially, you'll probably never forget, is Superman, eh? And I love the fact that when he was Clark Kent, he was on the outside of nobody, but on the inside, he was full of power, waiting to get out. And the thing is, Superman was just a regular royal baby on Krypton. But on Earth, he was superhuman. And it got me thinking about the song I started with. If Superman was a baby on Krypton and a hero on Earth, then how much more was Jesus on Earth? If he started out as the hero of heaven, how much more was he on Earth? And it's the same Holy Spirit power working through Jesus that we have hiding away in us. The power to heal the sick, the power to cleanse lepers, to raise the dead, to cast out demons. And what's more, it's not something we have to call upon. Before digital banking, if someone said, can I have some money, or you needed to pay for something, then you'd say something along the lines of, yeah, sure, I'll go to the bank and get the cash. I won't be long. When we pray, sometimes we pray trip to bank prayers, like somehow we need God the Father to do something. But that's not what the verse says. The kingdom of heaven is at hand. If you like, the cash is already in your wallet. Now, here's where things change. If Ed asks me for money, and it happens sometimes, then it's up to me if I give him some. And if I decide not to, then it's up to Nikki, and then I give him some. But when it comes to the kingdom of heaven, the decision is out of our hands. It's made very clear what the answer is. Freely you have received, freely you give. That doesn't mean you don't charge. It's not like there's a schedule of rates for healing. You know, headache, £10. Swollen wrist, £15. Raising the dead, well, that's a solid grand. It means you don't keep your wallet in your pocket. It means you keep it out and you keep it open. If you see someone sick, heal them. If you see someone burdened, free them. And if you see someone dead, raise them. There isn't a choice, it's a clear instruction. Freely give. It's part of our purpose. And as Sue said when she last shared, remember what our source is. Our source is the hero of heaven, the Lord of lords, the King of kings. He did great things. He will do great things. But most importantly, he does great things. And he wants to do them using us, his church, his hands and his feet. And he's already given us all we need for the kingdom of God, and all its power is at hand. Now, Italian poet and novelist Cesare Pavese said, "We do not remember days, we remember moments." My prayer is that when we get to the end of the COVID crisis, whatever that looks like, that we can look back and remember not the never-ending days, but the moment where God's light shone through brightly. For there are bright places, even in dark times. And if there isn't, you can be that bright place. Amen. Now I want to end by playing that song. So let's just enjoy the song and let's just finish with this time of worship.
hero of heaven, here we go. Oh, hero of heaven, you come.